there was this battle for the verbal plenary preservation of scriptures. And you were, and this battle even occurred within the FCM itself. So that was the time where I grew up in as an FCM. But for all of you, I think the reason why this topic came up is because recently there seems to be a lot of international disturbances, right? And how many of you here are about to graduate from university? One? Two? So all those who are about to graduate, are you worried about what is going to happen after you graduate in the job market? Or what is going to happen to Singapore? Yeah, I'm sure some of you here may be at least a little concerned. Especially now, as what is written right here in the booklet, it kind of provides the introduction for this message already. You have things such as US tariffs under the Trump administration. Then recently you have rising tensions in the Middle East, right? You have Israel striking Iran's nuclear site, and then after that, there are still further barbs that are being traded right now. They claim that there is a ceasefire, but nobody is certain whether or not the ceasefire will hold. And on top of that, you still have struggles which are closer to home. Like some may face problems in coping with examinations, with your assignments. Some have strained relationships at home. Some may face a recent passing of a loved one. These are very, very real issues which all of you would face. And so because of all these changes that occur, and they occur at a rapid rate, you may feel that times are uncertain. But let me pose this question to you. And in fact, it is good that later on, as you all go for your discussions, you all would think through this very carefully. What exactly makes these times uncertain? Allow me to repeat. What exactly make these times uncertain? Is it simply because of all these wars and rumors of wars, tragedies, disasters that make these times seem uncertain to you? Well, we'll touch briefly right here in this message. But I think it is good for you all to pray and to think through this chief question throughout the retreat. Because when I first received this topic, actually this is the first thing that struck me. You know, trusting God in uncertain times. But why are these times uncertain? Well, one of the reasons, I believe one of the chief reasons, is that we are actually finite creatures. And as finite creatures, welcome. And as finite creatures, you realize that there are a lot of limits, right, that we have to face, and these limits that we face actually gives the feeling, right, to all of us that these times are uncertain. Let me just ask you a question. Another question. How many of you can guarantee that tomorrow you will live? Well, maybe as young people, sometimes we think that, hey, I will live tomorrow. And in fact, in our hearts, we already have maybe certain plans, right, of what we're going to do in the future. There are nothing wrong with plans. By all means, make your plans according to the principles of the scripture. But you have to understand that none of us have power even over our lives. We have no power, firstly, even in deciding when we are born in this world. How many of you have control over your birthday? Well, even if you don't like your birthday is already settled. But to born even a minute earlier, well, you cannot wind back the time and then say, well, I want to come out a minute earlier or a minute later. You have no control over this. And thus, you also have no control over what? Over the day of your death. Sometimes we even think we have control over our health. And because of the advancement in medicine, and also in knowledge of how to take care of our bodies, we seem to think that even health is in our hands. How many of you here are interested in your health? Correct me if I'm wrong, I tend to find that for your generation, you all seem to be a lot more knowledgeable and a lot more conscious about what you eat and drink. How many of you here avoid drinking sugary drinks? Yes? No, come on, don't be shy. It's very good. See, a friend here sets the example. See, who are we saying? You know, I noticed this trend among the young people because I minister to those of the YF age. When I first became a preacher at Tabernacle BP Church, I remember buying some drinks for a group of young people who were helping out in the vacation Bible school. Now, at that point of time, I was already more conscious about the amount of sugar in drinks. So when I bought for them bubble tea, they like bubble tea, I bought for them 30% sugar. After that, they drank the tea. I was thinking that they would find it nice. After that, they say that the tea has no taste. Then they ask, what percentage of, how many percent of sugar do you ask for a drink? 30%. They say, no, we want 100. The same group of people grew up. And after that, the younger ones joined in the youth fellowship. You know, now when they come to my place, because we don't have a building like Kelvin Pandan here, so they come to my place sometimes for meetings. And then when we bring up the drinks, well, besides drinking their favorite Milo is always a favorite, they don't go for sugary drinks now. Please give us 0%. Well, that's because we are told, right? Please do not take too much sugar. And so we listen to this and we think that by doing so, it can help us to have good health. But what is going to stop a person who being so conscientious of all these things from not meeting an accident down the road or having some other kind of ailment in the body? Which he did not foresee. But that's what I learned, especially recently, from my own father-in-law. When my father-in-law went to do a scan on his body, and it was supposed to be for a certain type of just to check, right, a certain type of growth in the body. The doctor assured him that there is nothing wrong, but he thought that he should be careful, and so he requested to have that scan. When there was a scan of the body, after that they discovered, hey, no problem with that growth. But the scan revealed that there were big problems in other parts of the body, mainly his colon and liver, stage 4 cancer.
But he was eating very healthily.
He loves to eat. He has a good appetite. Praise God for that. You know, when you have good appetite, you should praise God. No pain, no aches, looks very healthy. But when there was the scan, it was reviewed. Stage 4 cancer. Suddenly, the whole world seems to collapse around the family. But I thank God for a family who, this family on my wife's side, who every one of them is strong in the Lord, and that makes a big difference. And you know, you learn a lot throughout the whole process of how to deal with uncertain times. Young people, please don't think because of young, none of these things can occur to you. Don't think you will live to necessarily 70 or 80. Anything can happen to your life. Don't think that Singapore will remain as she is today. Anything can happen. That is true. And because we are finite, we don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow, neither do we have a sense of control of what is going to happen tomorrow. And so therefore we begin to feel that times are uncertain. Men always like to try to control as much as they can. If weather is hot, we try to invent the aircon in order to keep the place cool, right? Yeah. This air conditioner is an attempt for men to try to control the temperature in this room. And when that sense of control is gone out, we feel that times are uncertain. That was exactly what the Hebrew Christians in those days were feeling. The early Christians in those days were feeling. By the time of the writing of this epistle, many of them were heavily persecuted. Some have to flee to caves in order to survive, in order to worship God. Others, they continue in society, but not knowing how long they can survive in society. People there in those days do not regard Christians very highly. And that is why, you know, they oftentimes have to find unique places in order to worship God. And some of them, they even find it very hard to even openly declare that they are Christians. And that is why there was the creation of this various symbols that depict Christianity. You all know the symbol of the fish in those days. And then sometimes the symbol of the whale. Are signs of early Christianity. And they were drawn in order to indicate, oh, this place is a place where there are Christians. Sometimes they were shown these symbols to one another so that the other person will know that, yeah, this person is indeed a Christian. And for those who do not have friends and relatives hunting them, they may find that because they want to hold on to their profession, like what is written right here, they were not able to buy and sell in society. Society will ostracize them. And to even buy their daily necessities would be a chore. They cannot buy and sell. Sounds very much like what's going to happen in the future, right? But even then, the early Christians, they already went through this. I learned a lot about this during one of the pilgrimages with FEBC. I think it was with Edwin's brother, if I'm not wrong. And Christians in those days, they really suffered. So if you can go for these pilgrimages, I would like to encourage you all to go. I know nowadays young people are very mobile, more mobile than us in those days, you can fly to any country on your own, you go with your friends, you know how to do Airbnb, you're very mobile. But don't just go for your tours. If there's opportunity to go for pilgrimage, just go. Because during a pilgrimage or doing such study trips, usually it's led by a pastor or a preacher. And then the focus is very much on going to the land with an open Bible. And to see how the land is made alive by the Bible, not the other way around. Not the land that makes the Bible alive, but how the Bible makes the land alive. And after that, with these eyes of faith, you see all these sights, and then you get a glimpse of how things were like in those days. And then you realize that the people in those days were living in what may seem to be uncertain times, and then their hearts sank, they became discouraged, and then they wanted to give up the faith. And that is why this epistle was written, to really show that Jesus is better than all things in this world, and that they must cling on to their faith. They must continue to trust in Christ, to trust in God, even in these uncertain times for them. And why should they trust God? Well, the reason is given at the end of this verse. Look at the end of this verse. For he is faithful that promise. Who is this he? Well, this he is none other than God, none other than Christ. He, God. This is the one in whom you should trust. And why should I trust him? Well, because he is faithful. Right? The word faithful here talks about him being worthy of trust. He is not only trustworthy, but he is worthy of trust. Simply because he is God. If you want to compare the difference between God and us, you realize that he is stuck. We are finite creatures, but you look at God. God is infinite. You don't even know how tomorrow will be like, but God is the one who holds tomorrow. He already knows what will happen in the future. Not only that, but he is in control of the future. He is omnipotent. Not only is he omniscient, he knows all things, even what will happen tomorrow, but he is omnipotent. And so therefore, whatsoever will happen tomorrow, God is fully in control. And all these things that will be done tomorrow is done in the infinite wisdom of God. And so, for us, the times are uncertain because we are finite. But do you think the times are uncertain for God? You realize that nobody in this world can be certain of the future. Even all those who try to predict when earthquakes will occur. You all know that there's a group of people that think that there will be an earthquake in Japan on the 5th of July, right? And that's why there are some people who went to cancel their trips to Japan. And I'm speaking from experience because I know of some of my loved ones who cancelled the trip because of that. Quite ridiculous because it actually originated from a manga that claimed that there will be an earthquake in Japan sometime this year, or big disaster in Japan this year. Did you do not know how they came up with the 85th of July. How many more days left to see whether you will come? 4 more days. Alright, we will see. Because of that, so many people in their hearts are frustrated. Now you go ahead and ask these people who predict so much about the future, whether or not they know exactly what will happen. Many of what they will predict will not come true. And I'm waiting to see whether the 5th of July will come true. Because if it does not come true, well, I think those who went to cancel their holidays will feel very, very silly. These people will try to predict the future. They themselves actually don't know what will happen in the future. But God knows exactly what will happen in the future. God controls perfectly what will happen in the future. And you can't. And that is why, when things are seem to be uncertain, the one whom you should flee to is the one where everything is certain. And there is only one person in whom everything is certain. Who would that be? It's God Himself. In fact, this word here, that faithful, not only talks about how God is trustworthy, and worthy of trust, but he also talks about how God is also unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some may say that, oh, I am powerful, I am strong. And then you may want to rely on this powerful and strong person to help you through life. But this powerful and strong person, the very next day may become weak. Something that they can rely on their family to see them through in life. And my family is rich, my family is powerful, there is a huge inheritance. Suddenly, overnight, there is a disaster that struck. The whole family is gone, the person is all alone. Even the inheritance is wiped out. Not constant. The strength of the family is not constant. But when it comes to God, God is not only omnipotent, God is forever, eternally omnipotent. God is forever, eternally omniscient. God is forever, eternally all present. He is forever holy. He is forever the God of love. And that is why we can trust God. You know, when God makes all these promises, so now we talk about the word promise right here. I mean, God has made many promises in His word. And why is it that we can trust God with regards to all these promises? Because firstly, we know that He means what He says, and He will keep what He says. For men, we are great liars. And I'm sure none of you will deny this. Oftentimes, we do not mean what we say. We do not intend to keep what we say. But even if we intend to keep what we say, oftentimes we find that we have little strength to keep what we say. We say that we want to be at a place at, for example, 12:30, we make an appointment with someone. Along the way, as we make the journey, we find that something is wrong with the vehicle. There is a big problem with the car. or you met with an accident. In fact, recently I met with an accident along the way to a speaking engagement. The car was hit by an oil tanker. Well, thank God I survived. But I was late for the speaking engagement by 10 minutes. Thank God it was only 10 minutes, but still, I was late, and right now my car is in hospital. Hospital for 2 weeks already, 2 weeks plus. Thank God I'm alive. But, well, I obviously intended to keep the promise to be there at the speaking engagement at that point of time, but I did not have the ability to keep it. By the way, if the oil tanker had just been a little quicker, maybe I would not be here in this FCM camp too. I definitely intend to keep this speaking engagement here, but do I have the ability to do so? Well, if not for the grace of God and the mercies of God, I would not even be here. So you see, man intends to keep their promises, but sometimes they have no ability to do it. At one point in time, it may seem as though we have the ability to do it, but things can change so fast, and then that's it. The ability is gone. But with God, not only will He make true with what He intends to keep with regards to His promises, if He says, "This is what I promise," He intends to keep it, but He is fully able to do it, and He will do it. That's why He's called the God of Providence. He's called the God of Providence. Why? Not only because He sees and knows what you need, but in the end He will make sure that all that you need will be provided. He will see to it. Faithful, that promise. And what are the things that He has promised in His precious word? So many things, right? We talk about, firstly, the promise of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, right, many of you, if not all of you here, are born again believers of Christ. And I'm sure you have experienced that. God has said in His word, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So now you believe in Him. Are you a possessor of eternal life? I'm sure you say yes. And you experience the benefits, the reality of what it means to have eternal life. So you have experience, right? Part of what it means, or certain aspect of what it means for God to be faithful to His promises. And this promise of eternal life you have received. But what other promises are there in His precious word? Well, there's one that we will discuss later on, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, right, shall be added unto you. Will God be faithful to that promise? Now, of course, the answer is yes. But the problem is whether or not we will cling on to that confession. But let no man say that God will fulfill that promise. He will. But the promises of the Bible are more than all these things. More than just the provisions of things that we need to do His will upon this earth, personally, but also promises of what is going to happen, right, to this world. All the various prophecies that we see in the Bible concerning the future. There are prophecies that in the time of the writing of these books,
have yet to happen and we by this time have already seen fulfilled. Like for example, in the Old Testament, it talks about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already seen it fulfilled. But there are also prophecies that talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and what will happen in the meantime before Christ returns. They are all found in His precious word. Will God be faithful in making all these things happen? The answer is yes. No doubt about it. He will make it happen. And because God is so in control of the future, so much that whatsoever He promised, you know that it will happen. Why should we not therefore trust in Him? He is faithful, not just trustworthy, but He is worthy of trust. You look at all these things that are written right here in the introduction, for example. Shifting international policies, such as US tariffs under the Trump administration, rising tensions in the Middle East, with Israel striking Iran's nuclear sites, with the rumor of nuclear war has become a chilling possibility. Were these things not written in God's word? God has already said in Matthew chapter 24, right, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Is this not a proof that God is faithful to what He has declared in His precious word? When you face ostracism in school, did not God say that those who seek to be faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution? When you see a passing of a loved one, did God also not declare in His word the truth about the frailty of life? You realize that everything that God says in His word is exactly happening around you. That is why, dear friends, I'd like to challenge all of you with these things from God's word. Are these uncertain times really uncertain? Or are these times actually certain times? You realize that once your eyes are not trusting in God, in whom you know is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that is where things become uncertain. Because everything in this world is changing. Everything in this world is finite. But there is only one who is infinite, and there is only one who is unchanging, and that is God. And that is why He is worthy of our trust. And once we let go of that trust, once we do not exercise our faith in Him, that is where the times become uncertain. You look at your exam and then you say, I'm struggling with understanding the subject matter. And I also don't know what is going to appear in the exam. This lecturer is known to be the most unpredictable lecturer in university. So what am I going to do? I don't even know whether I will pass. Yes, of course you do not know whether you will pass. But who knows whether you will pass or not? God knows. And even if you will not pass, what is going to stop God from using you to be a testimony for Him, for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world? Do you think that just because you failed your exam means God's plan has gone astray? No. Everything is happening exactly as how God intended it to happen. Our responsibility, therefore, is just to trust in Him and to do all things according to His word. That's all a difference. That's why I really thank God for this team that you all have chosen. Trusting God in uncertain times. In fact, when not only was I intrigued by this title, I was also intrigued by this selection of words, actually. Hebrews 10:23. At first I thought, why this verse? And later on, when I considered especially the context of Hebrews, and especially the ending of this verse, for He is faithful that promised, this is actually a very good verse to deal with this topic, because of the fact that it tells us why we feel these times are uncertain. But why exactly especially in uncertain times, all the more we should trust in God? Because there's only one who can hold tomorrow, and that is God Himself. So, dear friends, I'd like to challenge you all in all these things, right? At this camp, right? Really put in good thought, right? In considering these things, and especially, right, if you turn to your discussion questions. So these discussion questions were selected, right, especially in line with all these things. Right? Please ask yourself these questions, okay? Especially if later on during the discussion you all feel that you all need more time, you can always do so. I believe at night you have your supper fellowship. And then in certain days you have your dorm devotions, right? You can consider these things. What causes us to doubt God and His promises? Well, since God is faithful, that promise, right? In the sense that not only is He utterly trustworthy, no man cannot be trusted, men oftentimes break their promises, or sometimes they cannot fulfill their promise, but God will always fulfill His promise. And when you consider the nature of God, when you consider the character of God, right, there is nothing that should stop us from trusting Him. In fact, all the more we should trust Him. He is worthy of trust. Then what exactly causes us to doubt God and His promises? So I'm sure there are things at home, there are things in school, and there are things in work, or maybe there are things in church which sometimes cause you to doubt God, or at least doubt the promises of His word. Ask yourself, why exactly does this doubt arise? What exactly causes it? That's point number one. Second question, right? Read Matthew 6:32-34. That's the verse that was mentioned just now in the message. Do you believe in this promise, or do you doubt it? Don't be so quick to say you believe in this promise. I mean, I do believe, I'm sure you all do believe. But practically in life, is this manifested? Ask yourself this question. And then the most important question would be this. And I believe this will be a question that is worthy of consideration, not just in this retreat, but also throughout your life. Should these uncertain times be uncertain for the Christian? So discuss this right now. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word which You have given to us. And how wonderful, O Lord, that in times whereby the sands seem to be shifting, we have a sure rock in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when You make dichotomies. You make it, O Lord, in thy holiness, you make all these promises in thy love. And thy name, O Lord, is at stake with regards to the fulfillment of all these promises. And Lord, surely all these things will come to pass. And yet, Lord, how easy it is for the hearts of thy children to disregard these promises. What struggles occur in our heart even to receive these promises and to claim these promises as our own. Oh Lord God, please help us. How wonderful it is, oh Lord, that these young people, even at this stage of their life, want to be committed to thee despite all the struggles in their heart. And we pray, Father, that as they go through this retreat, and as they consider all that is taught in thy precious word, especially in this verse, that their hearts may be strengthened, that even from this young age they may develop godly convictions, and this will help them, O Lord, to maintain a good testimony for Christ throughout their life. May they, O Lord, be children who will experience much joy in their walk with thee. May they be children, O Lord, who will experience the peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. May they be children, O Lord, who in a world full of darkness will shine as lights pointing people to the Savior. So we commit, Lord, these things into thy hands. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.